Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. A happy Veterans Day to everyone out there, whether or not you have served or are serving or are a family member of someone who has fought or in any way helped the military of their country. We salute you today, and we're very glad that you're listening and able to listen today. The Center for American Progress, like any good American institution, is shut down for Veterans Day. We are sitting in an empty, dark office, but I still go on the air because I know many of you are listening, and I'm happy to talk with you. And I've invited into this liberal center, into the heart. And while no one else is here, I might get in trouble for this guy. I've invited into the heart of liberalism in Washington, D.C., two self-proclaimed millennial conservatives whom I met while on the set of Fox News. They came to simply watch a radio show in progress, and I said, hey, how would you like to come on the air? And Faith Vandervoort and Eduardo Neret said, oh, we'd love to. We can't wait to go here on the air. So welcome. Welcome to the
Good to be with you, Mark.
Good
to be with you.
So before we're going to talk mostly about the Republican debate last night and get your input on all of that. And I obviously have my own views. But, heck, I just like figuring out what makes people tick. And I think it's fair to say, I know you'll correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think it's fair to say that you two are out of line with most of your generation, that millennials today are more likely to be in the liberal camp than the conservative camp. You're out of touch with your cohort. I can see you're chopping at the bit, Eduardo. What do you have to say to that?
No, I would agree completely. You know, if you just take a look at what's going on with the college campuses around the country right now, we would not fit the bill for those movements that's going on. So we're definitely outsiders, but I'm comfortable with it. I know Faith is too. So
yeah.
Faith, you consider yourself an outsider as well.
Yes.
So is there a feeling that you're a victim in some way from this, or
no? I think it's the opposite. I think that a lot of our peers who are on the other side are calling themselves victims, and I think that's a huge part of the problem with our age.
Okay. So. Oh, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to add, I think it's good. I think the college campuses are a good place. I think that's where we should have these debates between what you believe, and there should be no limit on how you feel, what your beliefs are. And I think that's a good place to explore, you know, what do I really believe in, and to see what other people believe in. I think it's great that on college campuses.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm glad we're beginning on a point of agreement, because we may not end up there.
Not yet.
So what makes, and I'll just start with you, Faith, what makes you different? Why do you think you're a conservative where most of your generation are liberals? Why are they liberals, and why are you conservative?
Well, I was actually raised in the most conservative county in the United States. That's Sioux County, Iowa. It just has surrounded me since I was a little girl and been ingrained in who I am. And then I went to school in Los Angeles, and I honestly thought that I would become more liberal.
Where'd you go to school in Los Angeles?
Azusa Pacific University, east of Pasadena, a small Christian school. And I encountered liberal professors, a lot of liberal classmates. And
at a small Christian school, you found a lot of liberal professors?
Absolutely. And it actually made me more conservative. It made me realize why I believe the things I do, not just because my dad told me this at the dinner table. I kind of found my own place.
How would you define a conservative for yourself?
For myself?
Yeah.
I would pretty
much say I'm a conservative. What does that mean to you?
It means that, honestly, I go with my gut in who I am. And a lot of that aligns with the Constitution. A lot of it has to deal with my religion and my moral background, just where I find myself on the spectrum.
I've seen the clips.
Whenever someone says Constitution of my presence,
you pull it out.
It's my primary weapon of choice. But please go on. No, yeah. I want to hear what you have to say. So you go with your gut. You go with the Constitution. Tell me more. What does it mean to be conservative in your eyes?
Well, obviously, as a millennial, it's different because we're a new generation that is reaping a lot of the negativities that the generations have come before us. And I really think that what it means is to stick true to some of the traditional values of both our nation and with my religion. And I think that a lot of it is the opposite of being quote unquote progressive. I think that it's about being traditional and, for lack of a better term, conservative.
Okay, well, now you say in connection with your religion, you're Christian.
Yeah, I am.
A particular denomination?
I'm evangelical.
You're evangelical Christian. Okay. So how much of your conservative bent do you believe comes from your religious faith? Most of it? Half of it?
I would say probably half of it, because I do strongly believe that there needs to be a separation between my religion and the United States government.
You mentioned the Constitution. I got the First Amendment right here. So,
yeah.
I feel like some people agree with you.
And but a lot of people think that they can use the Bible as an argument for why we need to have a certain policy. But I don't think that's fair.
I'm glad because agree on that. See, another point of agreement.
Because someone who's not a Christian
shouldn't have to follow Christianity.
Exactly. So I would say that it doesn't take up all of it, but my religion makes up a lot of who I am, therefore that pours into my political beliefs.
Do you think that you have the right to, it sounds like you don't, but I just want to make clear here, do you have the right to impose your religious beliefs on someone who doesn't share them?
I don't do that.
I'm not saying you do.
Yeah, no.
But do you think that the majority in America are Christian. They may not all be evangelical Christian, but clearly more than 50% of America ascribes to Christianity.
Right.
Should they be able to, be in violation of the First Amendment, but, you know, this can be amended, to basically say that we are going to take these tenets of Christianity and put them in the law and require people to follow them?
No, I honestly don't think so, because I think that a part of being a Christian is loving people no matter who they are, what they believe in. I don't think it's about forcing change on anyone. And so I think that if something strictly adheres to the Bible and there's no separation between the Bible and the law, I think that there's a problem there.
Well, you know, so far y'all are being way too reasonable, because I'm agreeing with every word you say. That's good. See, one of the things I strongly believe in, and you mentioned this, Eduardo, is being able to talk with people with whom you disagree to find points of common agreement. So far, I've agreed with everything Faith says. Now, we may get to a disagreement in a second.
Well, no, and
Eduardo, let me ask you about the sources of your own conservatism. Does it also come from your family religion?
I think, I think most people, you know, you tend to take on the political beliefs of your parents, at least for early on in your life.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
You're 20. How old are you, Faith?
20.
All right. So.
And so, you know, my dad came here with nothing as an immigrant from Nicaragua, had to work his way up, work hard like many people do. And I think that sort of, he was attracted to the conservatism of the, you know, 80s, you know, Ronald Reagan, my mother and her
family
as well.
Who happened to oppose the Sandinistas, so that didn't hurt.
Right. Exactly. So, and I think that, you know, knowing that he deep down, and that what he taught us, that he had to come here, work hard to get what he had, and he didn't expect anything from anyone else, that's really where I draw my conservatism, along with my religious beliefs. I'm a Catholic, so there's a mix of things there. I'm from Miami. I live in Miami. It's not the most conservative place. A lot of liberals there, but, you know, so I think, I don't know.
Well, Eduardo, let me ask you this. You were born in the United States.
Yes.
And your father was born in Nicaragua.
Yes.
Your mother, too?
No, my mother's from Tennessee.
Your mother's from Tennessee. Yes. I'm from Tennessee. Where in Tennessee?
Jonesboro.
That's in the east, I believe. Northeast.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm from Nashville, actually. So, fellow Tennessean here. But, okay, so this is interesting to me. You saw the Republican debate last night.
Yes, I did.
And you saw Donald Trump has, and I don't know if you agree with me, but I would say he's basically, the reason he's the leader in the Republican field right now is largely because of his views on immigration. More than any other single issue, he's been identified as really attacking those immigrants that have come here without papers. You, as the son of an immigrant, how do you feel about that?
Right. So I wouldn't take the view that a lot of people in this country are taking, a lot of Hispanics, that he's racist and anti-Hispanic. But I think his view is potentially problematic, because not only is he defining the immigration policy for the Republican Party, which it's not that. So we have the front runner who's saying we need to deport 11 million people. And then now anyone,
so you disagree with
I disagree with that. And now everyone can easily say, oh, Republicans are for deportation, when it's really only one man on the stage who's for that. And that's presenting.
I think Ted Cruz would probably agree with him.
I think he agrees in principle with Donald Trump, which the principle of that, you know, we have immigration laws and they need to be respected, and we need to fix our immigration system because it's broken, and we shouldn't have this massive illegal immigration problem that we're having. And that I agree with, but I don't agree with this, that the solution is deporting.
Well, you say the solution is to allow people who've been here 5 years to get a green card, pay a fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I think both of you, we can make you Democrats.
But Democrats are for amnesty. There's a difference.
No. I support them paying a fine. Absolutely. I support the immigration reform bill that Barack Obama supported, that John McCain supported, that
Marco Rubio,
some 70 people supported. I don't think that's too many liberals don't want to make them pay a fine. I think liberals understand, you know, that you break the law, you have to pay a fine. What we understand also, though, is that they're very much part and parcel of the nation's culture, economy. We can't deport 11 million people, and we certainly can't deport their children. So I don't think we're too far apart.
No, and I agree. I think the problem is the big, the loud people in both our parties. So, you know, the big wealthy Republicans are for illegal immigration because it helps their businesses. And I think the big Democrats, the loud Democrats in your party make the conversation difficult because everything's racist to them. So I think, you know, people on both sides of the party are making an honest conversation about immigration very difficult.
Okay, but Eduardo, when Donald Trump says Mexicans are rapists and I forget the other word he used.
Killers.
Some of them are good people, I assume. Yeah. Like, they're all rapists and killers, but, you know, maybe one or two.
Poor choice of words, but...
That was a racist comment.
But people...
That was a racist comment.
No, I wouldn't...
It wasn't a racist comment?
I wouldn't call it a racist comment. No, because there are illegal immigrants who've come here who have raped and killed.
There are some Mexican rapists. There are some Anglo rapists. There are some African American rapists. So when you say that they're just blatantly rapists, and some, I assume, are good people, like the good people are the exceptions to the rule.
Right, but I don't...
That's a racist comment.
But you know what? Do you think Donald Trump's a racist man?
I think Donald Trump is a performer. I think Donald Trump is a someone who is laughing all the way to the bank. I think he's running for president because he thought it would help his businesses, and he's shocked to find himself in number one, and he's enjoying the ride. I don't think he believes a word he says, honestly. I think he's a performance artist. That's what I think. What do you think?
I've thought of it that way. I've thought of it a lot of ways. It's really tough.
I think it's a reality show.
I mean, even if you go back to last night, he's talking about the minimum wage. And then
we're going to get to
and
that.
Then after the show and then after, you know, I guess today he's saying how the wages are too high. And he doesn't have any beliefs.
He's an actor.
Well, right. And so I don't think he's exactly a true conservative by any means, which is surprising to me why he gets the Tea Party. He gets the Tea Party backing, which
and
is extremely surprising.
We agree again. Faith, how about you? Do you take Donald Trump seriously?
I try so hard to take him seriously.
And do you?
Because he's at the front.
Yes, he
and
is.
He has been for so long,
yes,
and he's
he
made it
he
this far.
He deserves at this point
yes,
to be taken.
Yeah. Do you take him seriously? Honestly. Come on. You're only on the radio speaking before, you know, thousands of people.
Tell me the truth. Come on.
Eduardo doesn't.
No, I do. I take him seriously.
No, he's a serious threat, but do you believe that he believes what he says?
Not everything.
Do you believe that he says?
No, I don't
okay,
believe that.
Okay, so now... When we come back, I want to talk about why the leader in the polls, in your party, at least the plurality, is a guy who none of us take seriously.
And I hope we get to Carson, too, because there's stuff about Carson, too. I wish. Yeah.
I got to take a break. I also invite callers to call in. They may want to grill you. It's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
And now the back to the And now the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the debate that occurred last night. I'm enjoying my talk with two young millennials sitting here at the Center for American Progress on Veterans Day. This may be the only time in Center for American Progress history where the number of conservatives outnumber the liberals on this floor, since it's 2-1, but I feel safe. We've been talking about really some of the divisions within the Republican Party. We may have one right here, folks. Before we get to them, I want to play the clip from last night between Donald Trump and John Kasich on immigration.
We are a country of laws. We need borders. We will have a wall. The wall will be built. The wall will be successful. And if you think walls don't work, all you have to do is ask Israel. The wall works, believe me, properly done.
You know, the answer really is, if they've been law-abiding, they pay a penalty, they get to stay. We protect the wall. Anybody else comes over, they go back. But for the 11 million people, Come on, folks. We all know you can't pick them up and ship them across, back across the border. It's a silly argument.
You're lucky in Ohio that you struck oil. That's for one thing.
You're not going to have my back. I'm going to have my back. Let me say a couple things here. First of all, we have grown.
You should let Jeb speak.
We have grown.
No, it's unfair.
In the state of Ohio.
Governor.
Built an unbelievable company worth billions and billions of dollars. I don't have to hear from this man. Believe me. I don't have to hear from him.
Mr. Trump.
Wow, Republicans are mean to each other. I mean, I saw the Democratic debate, and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders both agreed that her emails were meaningless, and they had some disagreements on policy. But we Democrats are nice to each other. You Republicans seem to tear each other apart. Is that fair? Is that a problem?
Iron sharpens iron.
I think.
What'd you just say?
Iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron. Faith has no problem with this.
Well, I don't have a problem with it either, only to the certain extent that you can't beat up your candidate too much to, by the time that you get to the general, you know, that the nominee's beaten down too far to beat the Democrat.
Now, Eduardo, you, I think, agree with John Kasich, at least on immigration.
I agree with John Kasich on immigration.
Faith, you don't.
The word law-abiding, I would challenge that by John Kasich, because he said these all these law-abiding citizens, but being in the country illegal, they're not law-abiding.
Now, what if you're brought here by your parents when you're three, the so-called dreamers? I don't think we're going to blame the three-year-old for coming and overstaying his or her visa. And now you've lived your whole life in the United States. You've gone to school here. You only speak English. You don't speak the language of your home country. Can you have some sympathy for the now someone your age, 20 years old, who came here when he or she was three? And maybe their parents did wrong, but they did nothing wrong. Would you deport them, Faith?
For me, it's black and white.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd deport them?
I would.
But it's not their fault.
They're not legal citizens.
Do you know undocumented immigrants that are your age? You must know some in college.
I do.
You tell them to their face that you would deport them, Faith?
That we've never had this conversation, but honestly, I would, because for me, I think that we have laws for a reason in this country, and if our emotions get in the way of it, then
but
what are laws for?
But you just said it was Christianity that was sort of the heart, or at least half of your conservative beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
What would Jesus do? Would Jesus say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you came here when you were three through no fault of your own. Go back to a country where you don't even speak the language and deport you." I mean, does your Christian values allow you to have this view?
That's a tough question. But for
that's
me,
that's why I asked it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what Jesus would do. Okay, I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you is that if we continue beat around the laws, then we're going to be a middle-of-the-road nation with no principle.
Maybe the laws are unjust. Maybe the laws should be changed. Jim Crow used to be the law. Slavery used to be the law. My view is that we should allow a lot more immigrants in this country. Maybe the laws should be changed. How about that, Faith?
I don't know. Immigrants are great. They're
yes.
great for our nation. Legal immigrants. They're great.
The lifeblood of this country.
I am
guild.
I'm here. I'm here because both sets of my great-grandparents came over from the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. My great-grandparents came as well, turn
and,
of the century.
Yeah, and they farmed and produced crop. But I think immigrants are the lifeblood of this country.
So let's
but
let
they
more
need to be
in.
Legal.
Well,
can you and I agree on that?
Be legal.
Can you and I agree on that before the break, Faith, that you and I can let more immigrants in?
Legally.
Okay, but you'd open the doors more to let more legal immigrants in. See?
Skilled.
All right.
You can't.
We can't even
take care of our own poor.
We got to take a break. I've got four callers wanting to talk with y'all. 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Happy Veterans Day to everyone. Reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C., I have an extremely rare creature here. It's almost like a flying unicorn. In Washington, D.C., in the Center for American Progress, I have two millennial Republicans. And they may not appreciate being called oxymorons, but in essence, that's what they are. No, I'm very pleased to have them here. I actually do
here.
A lot of talking with young people
all across the country. I do it here for the Close Up Foundation. They get liberal conservative kids from all across the country. We do these domestic issues debates. I'm liberal, obviously. Someone else is a conservative. I love people your age. This is Faith Vandervoort and Eduardo Neret.
Yes.
And I love folks your age, about 20. I think from about, 17 to 25, kids are old enough, smart enough to understand policy, and still young enough to change their minds. So,
No.
They're fighting me back
like
here.
A true liberal.
That's right, because I believe in the goodness of people. What can I say? 888-488-MARK. My lines are full. So many of you want to talk to my young millennials. Let me start with Dave in Oregon, line 3. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello?
Hello, Dave. You're on the air. What are your thoughts on, or what are your questions for my two young guests here?
Well, I have two really quick questions.
Okay.
One of which is regarding illegals coming into the country. One of the things that I don't hear the Republicans talking about is punishing employers for hiring these people in the first place.
That's a good question.
Because let's be honest, they wouldn't be coming here if there wasn't an opportunity for employment.
Love that question. Do you want to ask your second one, or should I ask them that one first? Go ahead. Ask
me your second question,
and then I'll throw them both out at them. Go ahead.
Okay. And the second question is, your one guest said that she was against the imposition of religious views by Republicans across the country, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, that's what she said.
Well, yeah, I think it is Matthew that says you will be known by your fruits. How does she address the fact that we're seeing this on the state level across the country?
Oh, two great questions. Stay with me, Dave.
Republicans trying to enforce their religious views.
I love my listeners. Thank you, Dave. Those are two very good questions. Let me just pose them one at a time. The first one has to do. What's already the first question? That was on
employers.
On employers, yes.
Why Republicans don't.
So the best way to stop this, to me, is to punish the employers. And let me tell you why. One of the harms, and I don't think there are many, but one of the harms that undocumented immigrants have, and I think in this country, is they undercut American labor. We have minimum wage. We have laws that prevent cruelty, occupational health safety laws. But what employers do is that they know they can hire some undocumented immigrant from Nicaragua, perhaps, to come in and pick the grapes, and they can pay them less than minimum wage, and they can make them work 12 hours without overtime, and they can say to that immigrant, hey, don't talk back, I can deport you. That person is undercutting American wage laws. Whereas if we turned in employers and punished them for breaking the law, then the undocumented would be paid better, and that should be fairer, not just to them, but to the American workers that compete with them. Why can't Republicans join with Democrats and punish employers who mistreat the
undocumented immigrants? And that's what I told you before. That's why, the big establishment Republicans don't want to solve illegal immigration, because it helps the big business.
But you and I agree with me that you would impose maximum fines on employers that mistreat undocumented. Wonderful.
Well, we found another
agreement there.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you that's the reason why the problem isn't being solved. One of the reasons, big business. And so Disney was one of them. Last week I read an article that they've been employing cheaper illegal immigrant labor and been laying off American workers as a result. And so it's not necessarily I'm also for a market economy. If you can hire an illegal immigrant for cheaper than, and it's true, the illegal immigrants do some jobs that Americans don't want to do, that's fine. And if you can pay them cheaper, I think that's all part of the market. But at the same time,
we'll get to the minimum wage in a minute, but can you agree with me that if someone's undocumented and is picking grapes, is being paid under, illegally, below the minimum wage, say, and they turn in their employer, that they should be protected from retaliation, protected from deportation, because the employer is much more of a bad guy than the
I don't think you can demand that an illegal immigrant be paid a certain minimum wage because they're not a citizen, so you can't. But you wouldn't
apply minimum wage laws to them.
Well, no, because they're not citizens. But you can punish a company for hiring illegal immigrants.
Non-citizens, green card holders are not citizens.
But they don't even have green cards.
Right, they don't. But so you wouldn't say that employee laws would apply to them?
Well, but
safety laws.
But that's not solving the problem, because you're saying you can hire an illegal immigrant, but you have to pay them this much. So I think
it makes the problem worse. I think the undercut American wages. If you can mistreat them for less, That encourages employers to hire them.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Don't let them hire illegal immigrants in the first place.
Well, how would
punish
you,
them? That's what how put would, the fines there.
Okay, well, so we have fines, but can we agree at least that the same wage laws should apply to them as apply to American citizens?
Again, I mean, they're not. No, I wouldn't.
That increases the problem, because they're gonna if you only fine these workers, these employers every now and then, and they can regularly pay them $3 an hour.
But then, okay, so if you say that illegal immigrants have to, you know, the minimum wage laws have to apply to them too, what other are we going to start applying all our laws to illegal immigrants?
We would apply safety laws as well, to say that you can't cut off somebody's arm without workers' compensation. You can't do that with a citizen.
That's a hypothetical, though. Are people's arms being cut off?
They were 100 years ago in American factories. Have you ever read The Jungle by Upton Sinclair?
Right, but not now.
Well, there's a lot of unsafe working places, and all I'm saying is apply the same laws. And I'm not. I may convince you on this, Eduardo. I see this glimmer in your eye. I think I may convince you. Let me move on to Faith, because we got two questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, let's just briefly deal with this immigrant question. Are you willing to punish employers for hiring undocumented immigrants?
I think that they should be punished,
okay,
if they are aware that they are undocumented, but I know...
Should they have to check? Should they have to call into some national line to see whether someone is a citizen prior to hiring them? Or should it be like a no-ask, don't ask, don't tell kind of thing? Like,
I think that they should be required to check.
All right. Okay.
Because I don't think that...
Another point of agreement between
us. Well, and then that goes back to immigration, where if an illegal immigrant can't get a job because companies are only required to hire people who are legal here, then that will discourage further illegal immigrants from coming here. And that's not even enacting illegal immigration policy. That's doing it on its own. That's what Mitt Romney called self-deportation, that people laughed at. But in essence, if you think about it, if you don't let American companies hire illegal immigrants, less and less are going to come here because they can't get jobs.
Well, it's already they're not supposed to hire. But
right,
the problem
but,
is there's not enough penalties.
Exactly.
Enough
that's my point.
I'll tell you something. At this point, we're in agreement, which is good. But let me go to the next question Dave asked, because that was directed right at you, Faith.
Yes.
He says that he liked what you had to say, as did I, that you can't impose your religion, First Amendment,
mm-hmm,
waving my Constitution for all of those who can't see it here.
The only Democrat I know who
talks
about a Constitution.
I know. We were speaking about that beforehand.
To me, the Constitution is our secular Bible. We're not all of the same religion.
Right.
But every single president, vice president, member of Congress, state legislator, and elected dog catcher swears an oath of allegiance to this Constitution. It's the one
Absolutely.
Thing we all Americans should be able to agree on. So we may disagree on its meaning, but we all should respect it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm constitutionalist. We can save that discussion for another day. Faith, let me ask you. So you just heard Dave from Oregon who said, hey, you agree that you can't impose a religion.
Right.
But he sees Republicans all across the math. All across the map, imposing their religion. Kim Davis where was she? Was she in
Kentucky?
Kentucky, that's right. She's in Kentucky. Basically said, I don't care what the law is. I don't care what the Supreme Court says the Constitution is. I'm going to say that I'm not going to let you get married, even though I'm an elected clerk.
I had an issue
And there's
with
Mike
that.
Huckabee standing with her, and she's breaking the law. How do you think that Republicans go too far in enforcing their religious beliefs on those that don't share them?
I think some of them do. Eddie and I actually did speak about this once.
You agree that Kim Davis went too far?
That's tough.
Why is it tough?
Because I think that she could have handled it better.
What should she have done?
I think that she should have said to one of her colleagues or someone else, you can deal with this situation because...
But she didn't. She specifically refused to do that.
Well, and that's
right.
my issue.
That's our issue.
Or she could have resigned. No one's forcing...
She absolutely could have resigned.
They claimed...
Oh, absolutely she could have resigned.
They claimed, the government... Right.
Absolutely could have resigned. We all agree on that.
Right. So we agree on that. But how I see it is, I said that my religion makes up a lot of my political views, but not all of them. So, and I also said that my religion makes up a lot of who I am. So... Just because my religion makes up a lot of who I am does not mean that my views should not be represented, you know, because we also protect people of other religions, so Christianity should be as well. And I think that a lot of politicians, where people who disagree with them think that they're imposing their religion, but...
So let me go back to Dave from Oregon. Dave, you still with me? I want to know where you think Republicans have gone too far in imposing religion.
Again, with the marriage equality, I think is a good start.
Let's talk about marriage equality.
Faith, head, I can't think of anything.
No, that's fine. No, we'll take
that
one, Dave.
That's an important issue.
It is. So, Faith, a gay couple, mm-hmm, who aren't Christian, aren't evangelical Christian. They may have a different religion. They may have no religion. They want to get married. They don't want to get married in your church.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to get married according to religious faith. I and you, we all strongly agree that religious faiths can marry whomever they want. The Catholic Church will often not marry people who won't raise their kids Catholic. And those people can still get married in America. They just can't get married in the Catholic Church. No one's trying to, and anyone who says liberals are trying to force churches to marry gay people, that's just false. That's up to the individual church. But when it comes to civil marriage, when it comes to civil rights, when it comes to your rights under the law, things like Social Security benefits and hospital visitation and adoption of children, these real civil rights that are not religious rights, why can't you agree that that's something that every American ought to have, whether they be gay or lesbian or straight or whatever?
I can agree. Because
okay.
I think that...
See, they're millennials, folks. They're millennials. They're millennials before they're conservatives.
No.
I think that doctor's visits... Everything you just stated, I think that that's fine.
Adoption of kids.
Yes, absolutely. But how I see it is I believe in the sanctity of marriage in the church. So I think that that should be different.
That's fine. It is different.
Right.
Because they won't be married in your church. And that's fine. No gay couple will be married in your church in Sioux City, Iowa.
I'm Orange sure. City. Orange City, Iowa.
Excuse me. Orange City, Iowa. Don't want to air. I do not know Iowa geography.
That's okay. Okay. You were 40 miles.
I got within 40 miles. That's pretty good for Iowa. No, but so you're actually okay with the Supreme Court ruling that under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, everyone has equal protection under the laws, and two consenting adults can get married, not in your church, but by judges, by clerks.
No, I see. That's where I disagree. I don't think it should be marriage. I think that it should be
civil marriage. Can get civilly married.
I think that it should be a civil union, because I believe that marriage was started. It was started in the church, and it's
But aren't we just playing semantics here? We call it civil marriage, religious marriage. Those are two different things.
I don't think the government should be in the business of defining what marriage is anyway.
Exactly. It's a religious.
And not. I think you'll agree with me. This is my point. Is that look? I think the government, you know, going in and telling people what marriage is. I don't think they should. I think if you want to marry whoever you want to marry. As per your belief
should
system, you should be allowed.
Should you get special benefits if you're married? Because let's talk about what the government does do. If you're married and you die, your spouse gets Social Security benefits. If you're married
you should get all those
your
benefits.
Your spouse gets the right to get their inheritance without taxation.
Right, and I think you should get all that. But for example, like in my faith.
There's 2,000 benefits.
No, and I agree. And everyone should get all of those. It doesn't matter who you're marrying. Whatever,
so all a civil marriage is the way if the state is conferring these benefits to say this is the person you choose to confer the benefits for, and that's a civil marriage, and it doesn't affect religious marriage. It doesn't.
Well,
affect
and I'm fine with Republicans disagreeing on what they think marriage is, but I do disagree the way the Supreme Court went about granting equal marriage. So I think it should have been done by Congress. You know, I don't think the Supreme Court should legislate.
Well, you know, but the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which I have right here in front of me, Eduardo, says that. Let's find it right here. That no state shall deprive any person of within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Isn't that what the state of Kentucky was doing?
With regards to Kim Davis?
Well, with regards to before
well, yeah,
the Supreme Court ruling,
I think that's what
they were
she was
saying.
Doing.
No, not just her. Before the Supreme Court ruling, Kentucky was saying gay couples can't get married. They were saying straight couples, if you're heterosexual, you can get married. If you're homosexual, you can't get married. That's depriving people. Within their jurisdiction, equal protection of the laws. Isn't it the job of the Supreme Court to obey this Constitution?
Yeah, but I think I would have, you know, agreed more if Congress would have passed a law saying
it would have been nice. I wish Congress had passed laws overturning Jim Crow
laws. But
I think
bottom line is this. I think bottom line is now Republicans and conservatives are fixed upon this issue, and my feeling is okay. So the Supreme Court ruled on this. Let's just move forward. Why are we going to...
I agree with you,
this issue is going to kill Republicans.
I agree with you, because your generation agrees with liberals on this point.
What you agree with marriage, but it's an idea of like, okay, the Supreme Court ruled on it, so let's move on. If Republicans stick to the idea that we're for the sanctity of marriage, which is fine, you can believe that. I'm not against you
sure
if you,
you
believe,
believe
that,
that,
but if you make it such a divisive issue, I guarantee you Republicans will lose the next presidential election and probably the one after that if they keep...
I agree. So keep it up, Republicans.
And also
keep using
a lot
issue.
Of other social issues, too, I think.
I think so, too. Hey, we got to take another break, folks. Time goes very quickly. Folks, if you want to call in, I will try to get to each of you. I know you all want to ask questions of my guests. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Time really flies when you're having fun. I really enjoyed my guests, Faith VanderWaart and Eduardo Neret, both coming here and being good sports as millennial conservatives as I bore into their views. I've had a lot of you on the line. So here's what I want you to do. I want to give you all a chance to ask your questions, and then I'll pick the one that I think is the toughest or the best, and I'll ask them of my guests here just because we're running out of time. So I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to give you all like a minute each, and that's about all you get. Tamara from Joplin, Missouri, line four, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Tamara.
I have a few things to say to your guests.
I'm sure you do. I'm only going to give you a minute, though. Go.
In 1986, I was 27 with a 2-year-old and an 8-year-old in Tucson, Arizona, when Ronald Reagan gave them amnesty.
Yes, he
did. And I ended up on welfare. But yet, as they walked through the desert, I put the hose out of the fence so they could have water because they picked up 225 dead people in the desert.
Wow.
Now, my thing with your lady guest.
Real quick.
Matthew 25:35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink.
Love you, Tamara.
I was a stranger and you welcomed me.
I love you, Tamara. I love to show conservatives that we liberals can quote the Bible because it surprises them. They don't think we know the Bible or the Constitution because they're not listening to us. I love you, Tamara. Great question. I do want to get to my other two callers, but fantastic question, Tamara. You're probably going to win. But let's see. Manny from California, line two. What's your question? Manny, you're on the air. Real quick, give me your question for my guests.
Yeah, my question is, why your guest said that she doesn't know what Jesus do? Come on, everybody knows what. I mean, he's open-hearted to everybody.
All right.
Sounded a short comment like that.
Fair point. Actually, that is kind of the same question as Tamara, so I like it. And real quick, Reggie from Georgia on line one, what's your question for my guest?
Yeah, happy hump day to you and your guest too there, Mark.
Thank you, Reggie.
I would just like to know why is Ben Carson pulling the victimhood card, or the V card as I like to call it, when he's being vetted before the world and by the mainstream news media.
Good question, Reggie. That's a fair point. I got to cut you off just because I want to get them a chance to answer the question.
Was that on Carson?
Yeah, it was on Ben Carson.
Like that
so we'll give you that question in a second. Right. First, Faith, two questions really directed at you. And what's fascinating to me is I really think conservatives think they got the lock on religion, that they're the only Christians in America. You've got Tamara quoting the Bible. She didn't like when Ronald Reagan gave amnesty, but when she saw people that need water, she reached across the fence, she gave people water. She didn't want people dying in the desert.
Right.
Isn't that, as Manny would say, isn't that what Jesus would do?
That was a beautiful thing of her to do. And I disagree with Ronald Reagan granting amnesty. I'm not for amnesty. So I think what she did was a really gracious thing. And as far as what would Jesus do, I think Jesus would do exactly
Jesus would deport them.
I think that Jesus would have done what she... What was her name?
Tamara.
Tamara. I
from Joplin, Missouri, which borders Iowa.
Yes,
she's
Iowa.
She's practically
neighbor.
A neighbor of yours.
Yes. Yeah. I think that Jesus would have given them water as well. But my idea is you guys complain that we impose our religion.
Yes, we do. And we complain
But then when we do things constitutionally, as in following the law... where we, quote-unquote, lack religion, all hell breaks loose.
Well, I would change the law, to be fair. And I also would penalize the ones that came in here, but I would do it with a fine rather than deportation. Eduardo, 1 minute left. Real quick, Reggie's question about Ben Carson. He says, Ben Carson's playing the victim card. He has a right. He should be vetted about everything that he said or done, shouldn't he?
He should be vetted, and... The victim card kind of threw me off because that's something that liberals usually do.
So Ben Carson's wrong, you think, to challenge the people?
No,
who are challenging
he can
him.
Challenge the media, and I do think it's getting a little bit ridiculous as to what I mean. Both of them, like, they're arguing on whether he's actually saying yes, I did try to hit my mother with a hammer on the head. I mean, it's getting
but he's made this whole life story of redemption based on his religion, based on his prior violent past. If the whole story is fake, that matters, doesn't it? Doesn't it show his character?
It does, but sadly, the media... Okay, so we're taking a look at Ben Carson's faith-based story, and did we take a look at Barack Obama's in the same way?
We did. Background? We did.
No,
we talked
didn't.
About Reverend Wright. We talked
in
about...
In a fair way?
I don't think it was fair, but it was asked. I think every presidential candidate has to have extremely thick skin and undergo enormous vetting, whether they be Democrats or Republicans. Faith Vanderwart and Eduardo Naret, this has been fantastic.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank
it's been
you.
Great.
Come back.
I'll have
you. We will.
All right. Thank you. Follow me on Twitter @MarkLevineTalk. This is Mark Levine signing off.